The Supplication on Thursdays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, who has taken away the shadowy night by His power and brought the sight-giving day through His mercy. He has clothed me in its brightness and given me its favor. O Allah, just as Thou hast spared me for this day, so also spare me for its likes. Bless the Prophet Muhammad and his household, and torment me not in it and in other nights and days by allowing me to commit unlawful acts and to clothe myself in sins. Provide me with its good, the good of all within it, and the good of everything after it, and turn away from me its evil, the evil of all within it, and the evil of everything after it. O Allah, by the protective compact of Islam, I seek mediation with Thee, and by the inviolability of the Quran, I rely upon Thee. By Muhammad, the Chosen, Allah bless him and his household, I seek intercession with Thee. So recognize my protective compact, by which I hope my need will be granted. O most merciful of the merciful, O Allah, decree for me on Thursday 5 things, which none embraces but Thy generosity, and none supports but Thy favors. Health through which I may have the strength to obey Thee. Worship by which I may deserve Thy plentiful reward. Plenty in my state through lawful provision. And that Thou makest me secure in the places of fear through Thy security. And placest me in Thy fortress against the striking of worries and sorrows. Bless Muhammad and his household. And make my seeking his mediation as an intercessor give profit on the day of resurrection. Surely, Thou art the most merciful of the merciful.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. In the name of the Almighty Allah, dear brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum, so welcome to this episode of today's special by IRIB English Radio. So welcome, status of daughters in Islam is the topic we're gonna discuss today. Today, Wednesday, is the 5th of Zilqa'da, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 26th of Hordad, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 16th of June, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. This is Chapter Baqarah from the Holy Quran, verse 132.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. وَوَصَّى بِهَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ بَنِيهِ وَيَعْقُوبُ يَا بَنِيَّ إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَى لَكُمُ الدِّينَ فَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ.
And Abraham instructed his sons to do the same, and so did Jacob, saying, O my sons, indeed Allah has chosen you for this religion, so do not die except while you are Muslims.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
It seems that the Quran, by stating the banquet of Prophet Ibrahim, intends to reiterate the fact that you human beings are not only responsible for your children while they are with you, but you are responsible for their future too. When you are on your deathbed, do not think of only your financial affairs and that of your children after your death. You had better think about their spiritual life too. Not only did Prophet Ibrahim, peace be upon him, bequeath such a testament, but also his grandson Jacob imitated Ibrahim's same manner and at the last moment of his life enjoined his children to attain the secret of victory, success, and happiness. Honoring the daughters in Islam. Some people are truly hard-hearted to the point that they do not express any emotions toward their children. It is a disaster when a daughter is raised in such an emotional vacuum, because it is easy for any evil person to then affect her with his deceptive words and entice her into his trap, and this is how the calamity occurs. This is why we need to pay close attention to the issue of daughters and grant them their due consideration, especially when we live in an era where everything evil is available and within reach. It is indeed a great responsibility to satiate the emotions of our daughters with the love they need from the hearts of their merciful fathers, lest evil men do this instead to achieve their vile objectives.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bi nasta'in. We find that the females, I mean both ladies and girls and daughters and our sisters play a very significant role in our communities. The sixth infallible Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam indicated that sons are tokens of the divine grace. However, daughters are tokens of the grace's special attention. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will question everybody because of the graces he has given to people. And in this case, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask questions of everybody regarding the fate of their sons. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give extra grace to people because of and the graces he had given to them in this world, and certainly daughters are instances of them. At the same time, we find that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam indicated that one of the tokens of a lady's having received the divine graces that her her firstborn child is her daughter. It's related also from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that on the eve of ascension, I mean the ascension of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he passed a very high level, he received a divine discourse, a divine message, I mean in the divine voice, in that, O Muhammad, tell those people who have daughters that they shouldn't be upset because of them, I mean because of their daughters, because I would be in charge of, I'm in charge of sustaining them and supporting them. It's believed that, I mean it's hoped that upon reviewing these important points, we will be more attentive to our daughters, girls and sisters and our wives. Thank you very much.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio. Today's special.
Now we go for another step and another phrase parents can use to empower their daughter. How do you feel? Take a break from, oh, don't cry. It's okay, honey. Don't worry about it. Everything is fine. Feeling and processing emotions fully is essential for our girls to develop emotional strength. As parents, it's important to know that emotions are neither right nor wrong. They just are. Teach your girls that emotions are good and that identifying how they are feeling will help them take action to feel better. Communicating that emotions such as sadness, anger, and hurt contribute to the wholeness of life is important to help our daughters embrace all emotions. Resist the urge to fix when guiding your girls and expect some level of messiness. Lean into the power of listening, which will guide your daughters to find their own solutions.
As-salamu alayk, as-salamu alayk, as-salamu alayk, ya bint Rasulillah, as-salamu alayk, ya bint وخديجة السلام عليك يا بنت أمير المؤمنين السلام عليك يا بنت الحسن والحسين السلام عليك.
Now the interesting question, why fathers are so important to their daughters? Fathers shape their daughters' self-esteem. Fathers play a key role in their daughters' psychological development from the moment they are born. The difference between a loving, attentive father and an absent father can have a huge impact on how a child grows up. When fathers are absent, either physically or emotionally, their daughters are affected in many negative ways. When fathers are present and loving, their daughters develop a strong sense of self and often become more confident in their abilities. In order to develop positive self-esteem, a healthy father-daughter bond is the key.
The Quran describes how men would react, some men would react when hearing the news that their newborn child was a girl. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذَا بُشِّرَ أَحَدُهُمْ بِالْأُنْثَى. When these men, they were informed of the birth of a female child, ظَلَّ وَجْهُهُ مُسْوَدًّا وَهُوَ كَظِيمٌ. His face becomes dark and he suppresses grief because of hearing this news. It was dishonor for that man. He would be ashamed. Then the next verse says, يَتَوَارَى مِنَ الْقَوْمِ مِنْ سُوءِ مَا بُشِّرَ بِهِ. That man, he would hide himself from the people, from his friends, from family members. He cannot look into anyone's eyes and tell them that my newborn child is a girl. Then he thinks to himself, أَيُمْسِكُهُ عَلَى هُونٍ أَمْ يَدُسُّهُ فِي التُّرَابِ أَلَا سَاءَ مَا يَحْكُمُونَ. He's thinking to himself, what should I do with this newborn child, this girl? Should I keep it in humiliation or bury it in the ground? They even thought of burying their daughters in the ground. And they did, some of them did do this. Doesn't the Quran say in another chapter, وَإِذَا الْمَوْءُودَةُ سُئِلَتْ بِأَيِّ ذَنْبٍ قُتِلَتْ. On the day of judgment, when the girl buried alive will be asked for what sin she was killed. Allah will ask them, those girls that were buried alive by their fathers, why were they killed? So this was normal in the Arabian Peninsula at that time, to bury your own girl because you were ashamed and humiliated of having a girl.
I think that's a good topic for discussion, so we continue on the next episode of today's special, inshallah. Till then, fi amanallah.
بسم الله لنا فتح ذكر الله لنا حسن لطف الله لنا عون نعل به درجات بسم الله لنا فتح ذكر الله لنا حسن لطف الله لنا عون نعل به درجات نعل به درجات.
Food for thought.
Hello, dear listeners, and let us listen to a thought-provoking saying from the Holy Prophet's eighth infallible heir, Imam Reza, peace be upon him. The worst earner of livelihood is that who deprives others of improving their livelihoods through his earnings.
If you're interested to know about history, culture, family, politics, religion, art, etc., you wouldn't want to miss the chance to tune into the IRIB English Radio. please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Abil Qasim al-Mustafa Muhammad wa ala ahli baytihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin al-ma'sumin. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners. Welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. Again, in continuing our discussion on the beautiful saying of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam with regards to the junood of the Aql and that of the Jahl, meaning the units within the armies of the Aql and the Jahl, we have reached this segment of the tradition where the Imam alayhi salam again mentions a quality for the Aql and a quality for Jahl. The quality which the Imam mentions for Aql is a very difficult word to translate. So inshallah we will try and explain it as best as possible. The word the Imam uses is Al-Mudarat. Now some people translate this as tolerance, some people translate it as graciousness, and so on and so forth. But it has a more profound meaning than this. A word needs to be explained, and one of the difficulties of translating any language into another one is that it's difficult to find a word that will, you know, exactly grasp the meaning by which that word in the other language is used. Mudarat is one of those many words in Arabic that are very difficult to translate. And the antonym or that which is in contrast to mudarat is al-mukashafa. And this is important to understand. This mukashafa is not that mukashifa that you have in Irfan. That is completely different. What we mean by this one is that a person is intolerant, hostile. He is not somebody who kind of synchronizes himself with those around him. That is a better word that we can use. It's a synchronization for mudarat. Meaning what? It does not mean that, you know, you are just tolerating somebody. Tolerating means that, you know, he's doing things that you do not agree with, but you are tolerating it for now. But there will become a time where you will not tolerate anymore. You will say something. This is not what mudarat means. Mudarat means that you are every single step going with that person until the final destination. So you are in sync with him. This is what mudarat means. This is what the Imam is trying to show, that in a community, a person who even lives in a community that is not Muslim, he has that ability to go with them, especially with things that are good and are in truth. This is what mudarat means, that you live with them, you accompany them. For example, many of us may live in places that we have Christians as neighbors, or we have other religions as neighbors, where we have other Muslims who are not followers of the path of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, but rather we go with them. For example, we have many traditions where the Imam is saying, if they are sick, go and visit them. Do mudara. Go with them, be with them, show them that you are like them and you are one with them. Hostility obviously is opposite of it, that you completely cut yourself off from them. They get sick, you laugh and you smile at it. This is not what the Imam is trying to say here. The Imam is trying to show you that you be one with the people. You not cut yourself off and you're not hostile with them. Especially in a society and in a societal context. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us a true understanding of these concepts that the Imam alayhi salam is mentioning in this tradition, insha'Allah, and to enable us to perform them and to practice them in our lives, insha'Allah. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك. ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another episode of the program, Let's Recite the Quran, coming to you from the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. I'm your host Mahdi, and as always, we are joined by our Quran expert, dear brother Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Alaikum assalam, Brother Mahdi, and assalamu alaikum to all the dear brothers and sisters who are listening to this program. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is all mine, brother. Well, dear audience, as you may know, the program Let's Recite the Quran consists of several Quranic parts. In this series, at first, we all are going to listen to a recitation of the Noble Quran recited by a famous reciter. After it, Brother Muhammad will analyze that recitation, and at the end, we are going to listen to a short speech about the Noble Quran. Stay tuned, dear audience. We'll be right back. Dear audience, today we are going to listen to the recitation of the master of Tajweed of the Noble Quran, Sheikh Mahmoud Khalil al-Husari. He's going to recite Surah Al-Baqarah, verses 261 to
263. مثل الذين ينفقون أموالهم في سبيل الله كمثل حبة أنبتت سبع سنابل في كل سنبلة مئة حبة والله يضاعف لمن يشاء
Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, you just listened to the recitation of Surah Al-Baqarah, verses 261 and to 263, recited by the great Egyptian reciter, Sheikh Mahmoud Khalil Al-Husari. Now, Brother Muhammad, let's talk about this beautiful recitation.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Sheikh Mahmoud Khalil Al-Husari is one of the reciters of the Quran, Egyptian reciter, that we can learn tajweed a lot from him. His tajweed is excellent. And in fact, he is a scholar, Quranic scholar, and he has written books about different Quranic sciences, including tajweed and qira'at. He focuses a lot on the issue of tajweed in his recitations. He gives the highest priority to tajweed. And that is why sometimes we feel that he is not trying to, you know, focus too much on the melody, the maqamat, and other aspects, even the voice. He wants to teach people how to recite the Quran with good tajweed. In fact, he has a mushaf, a compilation, which is called Al-Mu'allim.
Mm-hmm.
He recites the Quran teacher without any melody. Very plain, you know, it's a very plain recitation of the Quran. And it's not in a specific maqam, it's like this. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. مثل الذين ينفقون أموالهم في سبيل الله كمثل حبة. It's something like this. It's very simple.
Yeah.
It does not distract the listener from, you know, doesn't distract them. For example, you know, the maqamat and other aspects of recitation. He wants the listener, the learner, to only focus on the tajweed.
And learn how to read
and recite the Quran with good tajweed, yes. And now let's go over some of the tajweed points.
Let's go.
مثل الذين ينفقون. This is the very first one. ينفقون. This is إخفاء of Nun Sakina. إخفاء of Nun Sakina means that the Nun Sakina is not pronounced from its original place of articulation. In fact, nothing remains of the Nun except for the
nasalization.
And in order to apply إخفاء, you have to look at the letter that's after the Nun Sakina.
That is letter of إخفاء.
The letter of إخفاء. That's after the Nun Sakina.
Here it is فاء.
It's فاء. And then you have to make the mouth get close to the place of articulation of that letter of إخفاء. Here against فاء. So we use the upper front teeth and the lower lip. It's a labiodental consonant.
That's right.
And it means we use both the lip, the lower lip, and the upper front teeth. So we have to approximate. This is the technical word.
Yeah, we are not supposed to touch, actually.
It should not touch. Yunfiquna. Sometimes you could even see the front teeth getting close to the lower lip. Mm-hmm. Some reciters, they show their teeth even. Yunfiquna. So this is one. أموالهم في سبيل الله.
And after it, you're supposed to actually, meanwhile you're...
Oh yeah, yes, I forgot that part. Good point.
Yeah.
While you're approximating
the place of articulation,
the place of articulation of fa in this example, you have to make a nasal sound.
Yeah, for two counts.
For two vowel counts, which is actually nasal and oral.
Mm-hmm. Oral nasal.
Yes.
Actually.
It's mostly nasal, and some of the sound comes from the mouth as well.
Because the airflow is not obstructed, actually.
Exactly, that's right. Because we don't block the airflow with our teeth. We don't say, yunfiqun. Yunfiqun. It gets really close.
And another point about ikhfa is that I think it can take place within a word, too.
Yeah, that's right. It can take place in a word or within a phrase. Yes. unlike idgham. That's the only rule of nun sakina that can't take place in a single word.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a nun sakina followed by a letter of idgham in a single word, there would be ilhar of nun sakina, not idgham. For example,
dunya.
Dunya. Sinwan.
Sinwan.
Sinwan, exactly. These are all examples of nun sakina followed by a letter of idgham, but it's in one word, so no idgham takes place. Fi sabilillahi. Fi sabilillah. We have tarqiq of lam, of the majestic name of
the majestic, yeah. Because actually, in Allah, lam can be pronounced in two ways.
Yes, that's right. The name of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, could be pronounced in two ways. The lam of the majestic name of Allah. Either with taghlil, which means thickness. Or tarqiq, which, with tarqiq, which is thinness. Fi sabilillah. Whenever there is a kasra before the name of Allah, the lam is pronounced with tawqif.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever there is fatha or dhamma before the name of Allah, you have to pronounce it with tafkhim, such as in this verse we have wallahu yudha'ifu liman yasha.
Yeah, the waw has a fatha.
Yes, the waw, which is preceding the name of Allah.
Thank you, dear brother Muhammad, and thank you, dear audience of IRIB English Radio. Now the third part of the program, let's recite the Quran. We all are going to listen to a short speech by Dr. Shomali talking about the Noble Quran. Let's enjoy it.
If you want to be pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you want to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the key is to love Quran, respect Quran, honor Quran, and prove this with your words and actions. Some people think kissing the Quran is enough, but kissing is not enough. Kissing is not, you know, showing or demonstrating respect. Yes. Maybe 5%. If you kiss the Quran, but you don't act upon the Quran, what is the value of this? Yeah? Sometimes, I know, I say, like for example, if we go to an alim, okay? We kiss his hand, but we don't take his advice. What is the value? You are thinking that you have done something great, you know, you have, but it's not important whether you kiss his hand. The main important, most important thing, whether you take his advice or not. If you go to a doctor, kiss his hand, kiss the prescription, even kiss the medicine, but you take the medicine, what's the value? Alhamdulillah, I kissed his hand. If you kiss the Quran, but you are not following the Quran, this is not enough. Your life should kiss the Quran. Not yet, just your lips. If your life has kissed the Quran, that's important. Okay? So, this is a very shortcut, a very good, you know, way of getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Become a lover of the Quran. Become respectful to the Quran, and inshallah, Allah will select you as one of His best servants.
Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, what you just listened to was a short speech by Dr. Shomali, and that was the final part of the program. Let's recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And don't forget to visit our website, that is parstoday.com. Click on the tab Call of Islam on the top right of the page, and there you can have access to all our programs as well as the other programs of the radio. Until our next episode, we'll leave you in Allah's care. Have a nice time and goodbye.
تمام سبحان يا خالق الإنسان نورنا بالقرآن بمصحف الإيمان ندعوك نرجوك يا مالك التكوين ندعوك نرجوك يا مالك التكوين املأ قلبي قرآن اشرح صدري قرآن املأ قلبي قرآن اشرح صدري قرآن
Fiqh or jurisprudence is an Islamic knowledge and is ranked
The Holy Prophet of Islam is the example
of
Self-purification is the most significant
factor.
Imamat is a living principle in the history of Islam and Shiism. This is Ulama Speech, the best selection of the speeches of prominent Shia scholars. In the name of Allah, the All-Beneficent, the All-Merciful. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. Welcome to another episode of Ulama Speech. In this episode, we invite you to listen to the English translation of a speech by Ayatollah Meshkini.
السلام جمله دارد ان من احب عباد الله عبدا از دوستترین بندگان خدا از
امام علی peace be upon him has a sentence that I am going to read to you. There are some servants of God whom he had helped to overcome their desires and selfness. What a beautiful phrase. This is a very important issue. These servants of God fear him and this will protect them. This way days will be passed and angels cannot record any bad deed from these servants because they fear God. So he helps them control their desires. My dear brothers and sisters, you should be very careful. You have been educated and this is very good, but you also need to learn something more. That thing you need to learn is piety and not to commit sins. Mama Sadiq says in this regard, even if the number of your good deeds is not considerable, it is okay. Just be careful not to increase the number of your sins first. This is the example of a tree which is watered and then grows well. It produces a few fruits, but they are with very high quality. Now, although the number of fruits is not so many, they are fresh and good, and this is admired by the gardener. Now, if the tree is full of fruits, but they have spots on them and with low quality, you pick them all but throw them away. And you just keep a few of them which seem intact. You put them in a plate and offer your guests. Thank you very much,
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, for listening to this episode of Ulama Speech, which was the English translation of a short speech by the late Ayatollah Meshkini. Please visit our website, which is parsetoday.com, and by clicking on the tab Call of Islam on the top right corner of the page, you can listen to this program as well as the other programs of this radio station. And you can send an email to englishradio@irib.ir. Until next time, we leave you in Allah's care.
From the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا.
Your Lord has decreed that you shall not worship anyone except him, and he has enjoined kindness to parents.
For humanity.
Sayyid Abdullah Al-Musawi.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Brothers and sisters, dear listeners, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to IRIV English Radio, and you are listening to the program for humanity. We're still looking at the establishments of a human rights through the Islamic scope or the Islamic teachings, and we said it clearly by all measures and by all means that Islam preceded all other nations and other religions when it came to establishing human rights and the code of a human rights. When we talk about the Islamic or the Muslim nation dealing with its counterparts or dealing with its neighbors, we have to look at how countries deal with one another these days. Because now what seems to be the scale or the measuring tool is how powerful you are, is how feared and revered you are, and how much control you have over other nations. For example, if you look at the United States, because they got a heavy arsenal and they got a lot of nuclear weapons, and they got their bases pretty much in all corners of the world, so that gives them a lot of muscle, a lot of flexibility when it comes to flexing their muscles. So they put other nations at a threat, or either do what we say or we might, harm you kind of thing. Or at least they would blackmail them, as we recently saw with Donald Trump when he called Saudi Arabia as a cow, and he said he's just milking them. And he said, either you want our protection you pay. You don't want our protection? Fine. We'll take our soldiers and our bases from there. And good luck keeping your thrones. These were his words. I'm just paraphrasing. But he says, in order to for you to keep your thrones, you need to pay us. Now, that's a threat itself. No one should give himself the right to flex his muscle over someone else and blackmail them for something else. So when it comes to Islam itself as a nation, this notion of trying to threat other people or threat other nations just to get them to do what you want is absolutely not acceptable. And sometimes you see that even before or even our current times, those who are in power, nations and countries who are in power, when they have the power and the gunpowder, sometimes they would obliterate and destroy and annihilate complete continents and countries, or at least villages. For example, you see in America what they did, what they done in Vietnam, how they demolished entire villages, or what they done in Japan, for example, they nuked an entire city. And you can see that trend and that pattern follows the Americans wherever they go, only because they think that they have the power. So sometimes that clash itself, or that, you know, that dealing with other nations, because you think that you have the strength, you have the upper hand, you can destroy and you can annihilate. But even when we look at Islam, for example, and the Muslim nation, even though we do not agree with the wars that happens after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa, but the Muslims, they could have demolished and obliterated every other nation that stood on their path. They could have burnt it to the ground, and they could have killed everybody and burnt everything in order to establish their kingdom, even, let's say, it's not Islamic. But we don't see that happening, because Islam is very straightforward, very simple when it comes to harming and hurting other human beings. Even the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alayhi, he used to say to people when they used to go defend Islam, he says, do not harm a female, but even, you know, by the horses when they make sound or they run, a woman might be pregnant and she might miscarry. He said, do not do that. Do not burn a tree. Do not harm an animal. Do not enter the city. Go from the outskirts. And so on and so forth, only because Islam was based on saving and preserving the human and the human right, not trying to take it away from them as we see in our modern day. Let us take a break and then we come back, inshallah.
Dear listeners, you are listening to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. You can send us your emails, comments, and questions at EnglishRadio@irib.ir.
Welcome back to IRIB English Radio, and you are listening to the program For Humanity. Just before the break, we were saying that Islam does not permit any form of power or misuse of power when it comes to neighboring countries or citizens who are, let's say, not Muslims. And if one goes back in history with clear conscience and pure heart and pure mind without any biases, you will see that during Islam, let's not go before Islam, during the Islamic period, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alayhi, even though he lived in Medina, in the city of Medina, that city itself was occupied by different denominations and different religions. So you had, before, you had the idol worshippers, you had the Christians, you had the Jews, and you had the polytheists, and you had the, you know, all sort of things, and atheists. When Islam came and the majority of Medina became Muslims, a lot of the Jews remained, or Christians have remained. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alayhi, he did not say to them, well, because you are a Christian, because you are a Jew, you have to be killed because you don't believe in what I believe. No, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam let them live in peace, except they had to pay their taxes, and they had to pay, you know, they had to sign the treaty that they will not harm or, you know, trying to by any way or form trying to harm the Muslims or take their positions and so on and so forth. So they had what we call Ahlul Dhimma, right? So there is a treaty between them and the Muslims that we will live together, we will live in peace and harmony. You get your rights as much as everyone else. You get your peace. No one will harm you as long as you pay your taxes and you're good to go. And this is something that seems to be done in all countries now as well. If you can be a foreigner, you can work, but you know you have rights as long as you pay your taxes and everything is cool. So Islam also gave that right. Where in comparison to other religions, when we look at can they coexist with one another? For example, if you look at Judaism, which inshallah we will look thoroughly in the episodes to come, compared to Islam, where they say, no, if you're not a Jew, then you should be annihilated. You should be completely destroyed. And this is, I'm talking about the Old Testament. This is not my words. And like I said, inshallah, in the next episode, we will talk about that thoroughly. Where Islam says, no. This notion of whether you are in my faith, you have my faith, or you don't have my faith, there's always common grounds that we can agree on. Even Allah says in the Quran, Ya Ahlul Kitab, or people of the book, Ta'alu, come, ila kalimatin sawa'an bayna wa baynakum. Let's get to an agreement, sa'ilasan a treaty between us and you. And the common ground is that we both worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As simple as that. So Islam does not allow, nor does it give the green light to anyone to invade other countries or to prosecute people based on their faith and on their belief. Stay with us, and inshallah, we will continue in episodes to come. Until then, take care of yourselves. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. رحمة أرسلته للعالمين وعلى آل النبي أجمعين فبهم نرجوك أحسن ختمنا.
The Light.
Children have their own ways of remembering the dead. In Gaza, Palestinian kids fly kites in memory of their peers who lost their lives in the recent Israeli onslaught. Dozens of kids participated in the event, holding kites bearing the pictures of 66 little victims. According to the organizers, the goal was to send a message to people around the world that Palestinian kids